Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. Good Wednesday to you. Again, Sean Merriman is going to join us coming up next hour. We'll talk some NFL with him. What is the good of the day?
The good of the day is I got to give it to new Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce.
Antonio Pierce,
yes.
Former Giants linebacker.
He was asked a simple question of why he had practice squad players on the sidelines for the game against the Giants.
Yes.
And I kind of like this answer.
They got a Raiders uniform. Them guys bust their tails. You know, last week was just 2 days. This week it'll be 3 days. And they're getting us looks both on offense, defense, special teams. They're working out in the morning. They're in the meetings. They're in everything about it. But then on game day, where are they? That wasn't my belief. I've been at other places, either as a coach when I was in high school or college. Every man's in, man. If you're on a team, you're a part of the team, you're there on game day. And I just felt the way that we practiced those 2 days and what we asked them to do, they deserved to be on our sideline. They earned that right. And I hope they don't stay on practice squad. I hope they push themselves to become on an active roster. And that was the carrot I dangled in front of them. And they brought energy on the sideline. Now, it was a little busier than we used to, than I'm used to. But you know what? I'll take it when they bring that kind of juice that they did.
All right. How come other coaches don't do this?
Right? I mean, they're not active,
so just put them on the side. It's not like you're not trying to get them into the game. You can't do that, but you can have them on the sidelines as a celebratory thing.
I look at it this way. You've obviously seen a lot of high school football games, and a lot of times, I know the kids are injured, but, you see these kids just wearing their uniform on the sideline. Maybe they're in jeans or plain clothes, but they're wearing their jersey on the sideline. And I like his answers. He said practice squad members, they got a Raiders uniform.
Yeah.
Give them something to strive for. Give them something to do. Now, maybe they don't travel.
Yeah, maybe not.
For home games, you live here anyways. What else are you doing on a Sunday?
I'd be curious to know if any – I never – this was something I never thought about.
Yeah, me neither.
And now I'm starting to wonder how many coaches do this and how many coaches don't do this and
– Yeah.
And whatnot, because it's that
– Is it too many
like
people?
Cool.
Too many
Maybe
people.
Maybe it's too many people.
But, I mean, at the same time, it feels like you look down there, it's like you don't know half the people who are down there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a ton of people walking around. It's like, is he part of the team or is he just part of the field maintenance? What's going on?
Yeah, that's true. But good for him.
Yeah.
But he's really trying to win this job, isn't he?
I mean, Mark Davis is to
hire him full time.
And this is something where you do win the players over by doing something like this.
Sure you do.
Given the guy who's a fifth string offensive lineman. Because he's only there for practice squad, but it's like, hey, everyone else realizes, like, man, he's giving this guy, making this guy feel part of the team. I like it.
It's kind of interesting because, like, we talked about this with interim coaches. They never really get the chance that they probably deserve in terms of an interview because when you fire a coach, you want to clean house, but you also have an idea of, like, I'm going to bring in a brand new guy. And you don't want, like, leftovers hanging around. But the job of the interim coach is to convince the owner that he's not the same regime, just a different person. That he's going to do something differently. Like, Jeff Saturday was an interesting hire because I don't think Jim Irsay ever thought Jeff Saturday was going to be his hire at the end of the season, right? I think he was like, you know what? I just want a rah-rah personality guy that will get us through the end of the season and I'll figure out who the coach is going to be. And Jeff Saturday can go back to throwing pancakes against the wall on a talk show on ESPN. But until then, he can be a guy that's hanging out, having fun. But in Antonio Pierce's case, he's like legitimately wanting this gig. Well, why wouldn't he? And his job is to try to convince Mark Davis, like, hold on, I'm different. I had problems with the other guy too, and I'm doing things different. And maybe he wins it out. That's good. But if you have the team on your side, that's a big help.
Yeah.
Certainly a big help.
But
all right, go ahead.
This isn't the bad of the day. This was just piggybacking off of Antonio Pierce because I saw this little nugget. I had to share it because by comparison, so we see who Antonio Pierce is, right? By comparison, apparently it's been reported that Josh McDaniels called his kids home from trick-or-treating to tell them he had been fired.
Oh, what a terrible father.
One social media user pointed out, it's not like he didn't have money.
Like, right. But wait a minute, like I'm going to take that back. I'm going to rewind that. Did he do that so that his kids were aware and not hear it from somebody in the neighborhood?
Okay, maybe. Maybe that's
so
maybe
I'm
going to
take back
thing,
the bad father comment.
Yeah, that, I actually he might I did have not said, think about that.
He might have been like, I'm not, my kids are going to hear it from me. They're not going to go trick-or-treating and a neighbor recognizing who they are saying, oh, your dad just got fired today.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah, I heard your dad got fired. How's he doing? He got canned, huh?
All right, if it is Here's that. Your,
yeah, maybe it that's that, it. That, so
that's,
my apologies for overreacting.
But if it's not that, if that wasn't his first thought, and it was just like, hey, I just got to let my kids know daddy's out of a job. It's like, well, you're still getting paid.
Because he is a high-profile guy.
Right.
And you do
I did not
tell,
think
you
know, of that angle. I did not. That's,
it probably
that's a good
is
point.
The angle. I doubt it's money. I doubt it's like, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, he's still
he's
getting paid.
He's a millionaire. He's a multimillionaire.
Well, I know. Yeah. But I mean,
so
it's
not, you know, it's about whether or not you're the head coach in the city. You've been fired. The kids are going to find out from John and Joanne's house, you know, two blocks down the road.
Right. Right. I didn't think of that angle. That's a good point.
So.
Or right, is it to tell them, like, hey, guys, yeah, guess what? We're going to move back.
My initial reaction was the thought, and this is just thought of, I'm trick-or-treating, and then dad calls, or can you bring the kids back home? And then mom has to go, we got to go home. Dad has something to tell us. But we haven't hit all of these houses, and I made my costume from scratch. Nope, dad needs us home. But
that's how I thought of
I
it.
I heard there were full-size candy bars at the Montauk's, and they go, no, dad wants us home. And kids, sorry to ruin your fun, but that's just the way life is.
Yep.
Got fired today, so stay here while we all console this. No more trick-or-treating at all.
I'm not in a good mood, so you probably shouldn't be either.
Right, so I'm feeling lousy, so you're all going to feel lousy. But instead, it's probably like I just don't want them to find out while they're out trick-or-treating.
And keep the Patriots name out of your mouth.
Yeah. Keep the Patriots name out of your mouth. Somebody toilet papering the neighborhood finds my kids and tells them dad's a loser and got fired. All right, what is the? Well, that's not the bad, right?
That's not the bad. No, okay. I just had a, that was a funny story to me. But now, if you know, you spun it in a different way, so it's like, all right, maybe he is a good dad.
I shouldn't spoil the fun.
I switched the bad at the last second.
Okay.
Because it dawned on me about this. Now, this team is heading into a bye week, so we don't know the full story yet.
Interesting.
But the Rams did release Brett Rypien yesterday.
Okay, because he did it. He had a terrible game.
He had a terrible game. You get one chance.
Right.
One shot.
Packers had lost four in a row. They're a pretty lousy team.
Yeah, Jordan Love hasn't been a good quarterback. And
I think they got a field goal. Only a field goal. It was 20-3, so that was it.
So, my first inclination about this was like, all right, well, you got rid of your only quarterback that is healthy. Because Matt Stafford is still nursing an injury, although Sean McVay does believe that he'll be back not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday after their bye week.
Yeah, he's dealing with a sprained thumb.
Stetson Bennett has been out since, like, September over an illness.
Yes, but wow, that is an illness.
An illness.
What could that be?
Yeah. I thought that was weird. Football. That was back in September that he was out because of an illness. And then, you know, but that's why I was going off of this was, all right, you just signed Carson Wentz. Is he going to be the starter?
Well, remember, they did this with Baker Mayfield last year, too. Remember?
Right.
They got Baker Mayfield off of waivers, and like in 10 seconds, he was starting for them against the Raiders. Like he had just got, they didn't They barely finished putting Mayfield on the back of the jersey, and he's out there throwing football passes.
Are they also sitting back and thinking to themselves, well, I mean, if Josh Dobbs could just walk in and you know, deliver a win.
Josh Dobbs was like, I don't even know half of my teammates' names. And he was getting hoisted on their shoulders and everything. What a weird league this is.
It's been a strange season.
Really strange.
Really strange season. And backup quarterbacks, you know, the media personality, Annie Ager. She does all those NFL meetings. I haven't watched one in a long time, but I caught the most recent one, and she really went after all these teams using backup quarterbacks. And one of the things she says, like, yeah, guys, this week we used the backup to the backup quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And it really is like you're looking back at it like, oh, yeah, you really are.
This is my main argument. I sympathize with, I've said this before, I've sympathized with the old-timer that misses when you could get a quarterback.
Yeah.
When you could, we've taken the roughness of the game.
During the 80s.
But I don't want to see Clayton Tune play football. I'm sorry. I may be rude, but I don't want to see, you know, Tommy DeVito.
You and I as kids growing up, like watching the NFL in the 80s, could you name a backup quarterback?
I know. That's a great point.
Never.
Not really. No.
I mean, unless it was Joe Theismann's broken leg. Who came? That was was that Mark?
I think that was Jay Schrader.
Jay Schrader. Okay.
But I'll have to look that up. In fact, I'm going to, because now my brain is like, I think it is.
But I mean, that's the only time you had a backup quarterback was when, you know, your quarterback had a broken leg.
Yeah. Exactly. That was it.
So, now, yeah, he physically can't stand. So I guess
now I've been talking about Clayton Tune, a guy from Shepherd, West Virginia, right? I got a Tommy DeVito who got whacked because he, you know, killed Billy Bats in a place because he said, you know, go get your shine box. I got a whole bunch of people in the NFL I've never heard of playing quarterback. Why? Why is that? All right, we'll continue with the good, the bad, and the dumb next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're continuing with the good, the bad, and the dumb. So we have another bad? Or was that just
one
bad?
No, it was the bad. It was just bad. Yeah, I'll save the other one for tomorrow.
Gotcha. Okay, so we're on to the dumb of the day.
Yeah, we're on to the dumb of the day, which I find very interesting. So back in October, I didn't know about this. I don't know if you did either. But back in October, Ring, you know, Ring cameras, the doorbell camera.
Uh-huh.
Ring offered $1 million to any of their customers who were able to film an alien with one of their home security devices cameras.
Okay, this sounds like a bad idea.
It does sound like a bad idea. Now, the stipulation was that all these videos had to be submitted by November 3rd. So now they've released some of them, not all of them. And obviously, the reporter was writing, the ones they released certainly aren't in contention for the price, because people are, you know, dressing up in green alien suits and going in front of the camera. You know, probably saw that scene in Signs and are just reenacting it over and over again.
Right.
But it does. I'm kind of curious. I want to see what some of these actual videos look like, because, you know, they point out, like, well, you know, we've had some UFOs caught, and it could be flying, could be, you know, that scene from Signs where it's just, you know, an alien just walks across the camera real quick.
Yeah. One of the freakiest scenes in movie history.
Yeah. But the thing is that if they don't determine, they're having an expert, a space and extraterrestrial expert, to determine the authenticity of these.
What are your qualifications for that?
I don't know. Maybe you work for NASA. I don't know.
Like, yeah, can you analyze something we've never seen before, ever?
And make sure it's real.
Right.
And I think that's where this is coming from, because if they can't find a winner for the top prize, which will be a payout of $50,000 a year over 20 years standard, then they will when you entered, you were still eligible for a chance to win one of five $500 Amazon gift cards. So I'm thinking that that Ring is going to be out $2,500.
Yeah, I guess you're already right. Yeah,
but how great would it contest. Be? I'm hoping.
Yeah,
at
first
least
of all,
Ring cameras have a little bit more better pixelation than any footage we've ever had of Bigfoot.
First of all, let's go back for this for a second. I get why Ring's doing this, because everybody's on the alien kick. But let's say you have a video.
Yeah.
And you are 100% positive it's an alien. In fact, when everybody who watches the video, your friends and your family, they know it's an alien. It looks exactly like an alien. There's no, you have people analyze it. Are you going to give it to Ring for a chance to win 50 grand a year for 20 years? You could sell that for $100 million.
Or wouldn't the government just step in and go, take this right here.
Before the government comes and snags it.
We'll be in touch.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you might come home and your whole house is broken into.
Yeah.
And the ring is gone.
The ring is gone. And your password was changed.
But could you make way more money selling a real video somewhere else than entering it into a contest and giving the contents of that to some other person?
Yeah, you know what it is? That move. Remember the movie Contact with Jodie Foster?
Yeah, that was. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, it what made it brilliant was the fact that the government was building one, but the ultra-rich billionaire who financed everything decided, I'm going to build one as well secretly, and you guys don't know it.
Right.
And I said, you know, for me, it's like, that's true. That's true to life.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Because, you know, the government has to be financed somehow. It's not going to be from taxpayer dollars.
No. Fun stuff like that.
Yeah. But, you know, the ultra-rich billionaire who was given the plans is like, I'm going to build my own.
Have we calmed down on the alien stuff yet?
That's you know what? I think we have.
But not that long ago, we were rolling in it. I mean, it was on TV
it was everything.
Every night of the week.
Everything. I mean, you know, naval officers left and right were coming forward like, yeah, you know, I saw something.
People talking under oath about what they saw, about what they couldn't explain.
You know, we learned that a family in Vegas did not have cell phones.
That's right. Exactly. So I'm starting to think we've calmed down a little bit.
Yeah. And that maybe this is a one great last promotion.
Yeah.
And Ring is, like I said, Ring's going to be out $2,500 when it's all said and done.
I heard Neil deGrasse Tyson say one time, and all, it feels like this is the scientist thing they like to do, where I heard, it's not just him, but I've heard these people say this, where they go, if there really was intelligent life out there, why would they want to hang out with us? We're like ants. I think it was like Joe Rogan or somebody went, hold on, stop. Like, we built nuclear weapons. Like, we're not ants. Like, they would want to talk to us. They would want to get to know us. We're not, like, stop pretending like they wouldn't be interested. They would be interested if there was. And I kind of lean in that direction. I kind of lean there. Like, I really do think if there was aliens, they would see us and go, all right, maybe they're not as advanced as us, but they're not a nothing.
Well, I mean, case in point, right? If we had the technology to travel to another planet, right?
Right.
Wouldn't we make contact?
We're looking for microbes on Mars.
Right.
Like, why wouldn't they want to look and find stuff here?
You know, I mean, look at the, even though it's, I know it's a TV show, but the TV show Star Trek. They went out and, you know, did scientific research for at all these different planets. And,
sure.
And every once in a while they came to a primitive one, but they said, well, you know, maybe it's primitive. Maybe we just hide our phasers.
Exactly. So, well, Ring, if you find video, let us know.
Yes, we want to see.
I guess we want
to
know.
I'm wanting to look at some of the submissions that they have released and just see how goofy people really are.
How silly people. We're going to fool them with your costume.
I saw
Party
one.
City.
There was one. It was made all the news yesterday. Did you see the bear in Florida?
The one that's walking on hind legs.
No. This one. A Florida family had food delivered, and you know the food was delivered. The lady, you know, set it down, took a picture like they all do, and you know, texted you. It's like, hey, there's food there. Why it took the family so long to go out and get their food because they were inside the house? That's beyond me. I mean, when I see that food is delivered, I'm out there in a second because I'm hungry. But apparently they left their food out there a little bit longer and their food was stolen.
By a bear?
By a bear.
Maybe they knew the bear was around.
Maybe. And the bear just walked right up to the front
door. Maybe they were drawing straws as to who was going to go out and actually open the door and get said food.
Right. My other problem with this story was that what they ordered was Taco Bell, which I don't have a problem with Taco Bell. I love Taco Bell. But they had $45 worth of Taco Bell.
And the bear ate all of it?
Well, the bear ate all of it, right? But right. I still find it hard, even with my family, to spend $45 at Taco Bell.
Well, you've just told the story without telling us who was in the family.
From the looks of it, it was a husband, a wife, and one kid.
One kid?
Yeah. What
do we know?
Well, one kid was out there. That's all. Maybe there's more. I don't know.
Maybe there's more.
Maybe
there
was more inside.
Maybe there was seven people there.
Ah.
Well, you say that, but we don't
know.
Like,
I don't know.
You're just guessing.
I don't know.
You know, maybe there was... Maybe they're having a bunch of people over. Maybe the friends had people over. Like, I don't know. Yeah, $45 is a lot of fast food, but, you know. The other day, I got a burger, a combo meal, and it was $13.
I know.
So, and I went, wait a minute, this used to be $6.
That's...
right, what are we doing here?
You know those commercials you're turning into your parents?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite ones is when the guy is ordering a salad. And he goes,
oh, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, it's $17.50. Oh, no, I'm just paying for mine.
Right, because you think salads are like $4.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm
like,
doing.
I guess I am like my parents said, if I'm thinking that $17 for a salad is outrageous.
You know where they're getting you in restaurants now? They're getting you with that soda.
Yeah, they are.
Or the tea. Like the other day, my wife and I went to dinner, and I looked at the bill. The soda that we got, well, she got a Diet Coke, and I got a tea. And it was $4.20.
Yeah. Free refills.
Right, yeah. $4.20 per glass. I said, that's $8 in drinks that we just got.
Yep.
Again, I'm turning into my parents. Like, yeah, it's a lot of money for drinks. Ah! But still, I'm like, that's where they're getting you. They just keep upping that because nobody really looks at that.
No.
Because you look at the menu and you go, do I want a $30 ribeye? I don't know. Maybe I don't. Do I want the lasagna for $21? I don't know. It seems like a lot for lasagna.
And honestly,
a drinks,
lot of times.
Like, yeah, give me a Coke.
But a lot of times, the drink price isn't even listed.
Yeah, they
and they
list,
know
yeah.
You're not going to ask.
Yeah.
You're not going to say, like, yeah, and how much is a Coke?
Yeah.
No, you're not going to ask that. You're just going to just say, give me a Coke.
That's right. So that's where they're getting you now. So, nevertheless.
That's right. That's where the man is sticking it to you.
Exactly. That's where they're sticking it to you. All right. That is the good, the bad, and the dumb. We got Sean Merriman coming up next hour. We will talk to him about some NFL, get his thoughts on what's going on in this crazy league that's heading into Week 10. In the National Football League. And if it comes down at any point, and it doesn't look like it's going to come down today, Michigan did put out, had to send something acknowledging that there was going to be some like disciplinary thing coming their way, but they don't, it may not be today. But that story is just, I'm just,
what would they, what would they do? Would they suspend Harbaugh?
That's, are you trying to get a step up. You know how the teams will go, well, we've self-reported this. Is that what they were trying to do?
And
we took
the initial step, and right. NCAA, you're off the hook.
But it doesn't look like that's any sort of decision on this. Like, an advance to the NCAA is whether the Big Ten wants to do some of their own interdisciplinary actions on Michigan. Again, we're heading into the final stretch run in this story. Is not been resolved yet. Unlikely will be for a while. All right, we will continue. It's Wake Up Call Sportsman Radio on Twitter @TonyDRadio @RonColbert, Ron with two N's.